1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're
Shannon and Scott! I'm glad we're at the same place with that.
See, we did it! Boo, oh, wow. We did it.
Synchronicity.
We did it, finally. After 16 episodes.
A lot to unpack here, though.
Nailed it, yeah.
First of all, you called me Boo, which you haven't done on the show
yet.
I just want to say to our listeners, it's an affectionate nickname we have for each other. It started back in college.
Go Tartans.
Yeah, literally 10 years ago.
So we call each other Boo. Also, the reason we used that voice in saying Shannon and Scott was an homage to one of our favorite musical artists.
Our favorite YouTube artist.
Mark Finkelstein.
Mark Finkelstein is a god among men.
Of Tartan Bob's fame. Yes. I think that's all we should say. If you're interested, check it out.
Mark with a C.
Okay. What's a song salad?
A song salad is a song that we write about a random topic in a random musical genre.
Nice. Efficient. You should go into branding.
It's almost like I'm a professional writer.
Do we have any news? It's hot.
It's so hot.
It's a hot salad.
It is.
Which is one of the worst things you can have.
See, I always think like, whenever you see on a menu when it's like a warm salad, aren't you always like a little bit like
turned off?
Darn it! Like I'm gonna put it in my mouth and it's gonna be at the exact same temperature of my mouth.
Right, body temperature salad.
It's so just you can limp. Just like osmosis it like into your body with like the least
and soggy
trauma possible. So my bosses listen to the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Shout out to Shannon's bosses.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
My awesome bosses. One of my bosses told us that we should check out Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
Y-A-C-H-T Rock.
Correct.
Huh.
Which, as she very aptly described, is just music that makes you want to be on a boat.
Is it music written for that purpose, or just like a Spotify playlist of songs that would be good boat listening?
I think it's more the latter. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of Jimmy Buffett, if I could guess.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote a lot of songs on a boat.
He
still does. So.
I feel like probably 65 to 70% of his song titles have the word boat in them. Right?
He has a whole album. One of them is just Cheeseburger in Paradise, Cheeseburger in Boat.
Keep going. Keep going.
Volcano. Boatcano.
Boatcano.
A pirate looks at 40. A pirate looks at a boat. He just has a double song with boat in the title.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
Come Monday. Boat Monday.
Awesome. So maybe this week we'll get Yacht Rock. And then
maybe.
So, thanks for sending us down that rabbit hole, Jenny. We appreciate it.
Well, let's go to moodfuse.com and see what we get.
Yacht rock, yacht rock, yacht rock.
What should the salad spinner sound like today? Should it sound like our impression of yacht rock?
So what would yacht rock sound like?
All right, here's yacht rock.
Okay.
Oh, the bows in the stern with the silver spoon. Little port blue and the man on starboard. Tango.
Tango.
The opposite of yacht rock.
The opposite of yacht rock is tango. That is very true.
All right, let's do tango.
Sweet.
Nice.
Does it have lyrics?
We're going to find out.
Okay.
Tango is a style of music in 2/4 or 4/4 time that originated among European immigrant populations of Argentina and Uruguay. It is traditionally played on solo guitar, guitar duo, or an ensemble known as the Orquesta Típica, which means typical orchestra, which includes at least two violins, flute, piano, double bass, and at least two bandoneons, which are sort of like accordions.
Oh.
Sometimes guitars and clarinet join the ensemble. Tango may be purely instrumental or may include a vocalist.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Tango music and dance have become popular throughout the world.
Sweet.
Nice generalization there, Wikipedia.
So I'm thinking this is going to be, or like feel to the untrained ear, similar to our samba episode.
A little bit. The bass rhythm is a little bit different.
Okay.
So the samba rhythm, if you remember from our episode, Do the Venasco.
Yes, Do the Venasco.
Was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But the tango rhythm is, I want to make sure I get this right.
Wait, they have it notated right under the, that.
So it says on this page that the tango rhythm is da-da-da-da-da-da. But I think the one that people more closely associate with tango is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which does kind of fit into that. So da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So accenting that like and of two in the middle is definitely part of the tango thing. But usually you hear those faster like divisions of the time than what this rhythm indicates. So I think we'll stick with that.
Why don't you tell people what you mean when you say the and of two in the middle? Because that sounds like you had a mini stroke.
The and of two. You, in counting this time signature, it's in 4-4 time.
Mm-hmm.
So you say 1, 2, 3, 4. And in between all of those, you say and. 1, 2, 3, 4, and.
To further divide the beat. Sure.
And the and of two is the and that comes after two. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Good. Yes.
Music. Lesson.
Music.
Music.
Hashtag music.
Listen to the music.
What? Why are you Italian?
I don't know. Italian tango.
I notice also that the regional scene listed under tango is Japanese tango.
What?
Called Dodonpa. Dodonpa.
On Easter Island?
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Easter, so there's Japanese tango, dodonpa, which is actually...
That's related to the rhythm.
Yep. I was just going to say, it sounds like bushushuru or whatever.
What is that?
That's... Okay. You have to know this story.
I don't know this story.
when George Bush, senior, went to Japan in like 1980, whatever.
Yep.
He got really sick at a state dinner and threw up all
that.
Over the... Okay.
Yeah.
So... The Japanese then, and I hope I'm not just saying some, like, Snapple fact about this, but then after that, there developed a word in Japanese that means, like, throwing up on someone, and it's bushushuru, like George Bush.
That's awesome.
I'm going to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that, like...
Did Abby tell you this?
No. I heard
Hey, Abby.
What's up, Abby? I don't know if you listen to this or not. wait. Bush...
I ate the most rancid sushi last night and bushushurued all over my mom.
Yeah. It means, and yeah, it's to throw up on another person. Bushushuru.
That's fantastic.
So that's where I'm thinking that dodonpa is like the same, like, because it's like dodonpum-pum, dodonpum-pum.
Right. Or in a more musical sense, it's like... The instrument, the dumbek, which is a percussion instrument, has this two possible sounds you can play on it, which are a low, like, doom sound and
a
high
peck
sound. So it's called a dumbek, you know?
In Japanese?
No.
Oh.
It's African, I think. But, you know, different cultures do that, is what I'm saying. Different cultures have that in their language.
Onomatopoetic words.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of one in English, like...
Buzz?
No, like, for an object.
Oh, for an object?
Yeah.
I'm sure that, like, Todd is, like, going out of his mind, like, just yelling words Tourette style on a bus right now, because he can think of all of them.
For some reason, the only thing that came to my head was, like, a spritzer.
You're such a soccer mom.
Because it goes...
Is that what it does?
Also, I was thinking more of like a spray bottle than a drink.
A spray. Of course, I thought of the drink. No, I'm 100% sure that there's something. Well, so not strictly an onomatopoeia.
Let's say the clicker for like a remote
control.
Yeah,
sure.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. That's one. I thought of Choo Choo.
Can we talk about tango?
Yeah, let's talk about tango.
So, very interesting history of tango.
Okay.
Yeah. Its origins were based on flamenco, which came from Spain and Cuba, mostly. But the actual tango form came out of Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And really started to gain attention in the late 1800s. It was very popular in the early 1900s in cities like Buenos Aires and Montevideo among gangsters and thugs that would go to brothels.
Okay.
And they would dance to tango music with the girls at the brothels and use it to demonstrate their sexuality and their aggressiveness. And because of this, tango was always associated with machismo and has a lot of ties in the lyrics, especially to, you know, macho themes and also to blaming women on heartaches and blaming women on any bad situations the men are in. So
yeah, that sounds right.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
As you write your song. Also, because of this, it was regarded as too macho for women to perform back then as musicians. But there was a famous pianist in Argentina named Arminda Quinteros, and she used to play tangos so well on the piano that she would come and play for radio shows but play under a male pseudonym and wouldn't be interviewed on the radio or anything. She would just play, and they would tell everyone on the radio that she was a guy playing these tango songs. Yep.
Fuck the patriarchy. I'm just going to say it.
Like, so Arminda Quinteros deserves recognition for being a woman who could play the crap out of some tangos. After the early 1900s, tango spread around the world and spread into the stylings of big bands, big band leaders, mm-hmm. in like World War II. They took the traditional tango ensemble, which included, like we mentioned, violin, flute, piano, and they added like double bass and saxophone and those kind of like big band instruments to it. And then later on in the 1950s, there was a composer named Astor Piazzolla, who you might have heard of.
Sure, I believe you.
He's very famous for bringing traditional tango into the orchestral scene.
Okay.
So he wrote a lot of very famous, very influential orchestral works using tango music and brought in this sort of wave of like neo-tango that continued into the 1950s through 1970s.
Uh-huh.
And brought tango music into like the orchestra concert hall for the first time.
Cool.
So pretty cool stuff.
That's very cool.
What did you find out about tango?
So tango actually has, in contrast to a lot of the genres that we've covered, a really rich lyrical history.
Yay!
Yay! Hooray, hooray. Tango songs were sometimes poems.
Mm.
And there was actually a kind of a particular slang that tango songs liked to employ a lot called lunfardo.
Huh.
And a little bit about lunfardo is that it originated and developed in the late 19th and early 20th centuries among poor people in Buenos Aires and Montevideo, and like basically that whole region.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there spread to other cities. It was originally used by criminals, which ties back to how you said like thugs and criminals used to like really prefer tango. But soon a lot of other people in like all throughout the lower classes were using it, and it even disseminated into the Spanish of Argentina and Uruguay.
Hmm.
So,
and I didn't mention this, but I also read about how tango started as a lower class form of music.
Yes.
Anyway, so that makes sense.
So I thought that was really cool. Some of the things that lunfardo, and I would have to like look it up a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. It was prison slang.
Yeah.
So the guards wouldn't understand them.
Huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's really cool. And some of the things that Lunfardo employed in order to, like, be a slang are things like Vesres. I don't know how you say that. But in any case, it means the inversion of syllabic order, which also French has a similar thing called verlang.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of saying someone is, like, méchant, which is, like, mean, you would say they're chantmé. Like, and that's, like, a way to... It's kind of like secret language, but yeah.
So instead of saying someone's stupid, you could say someone's pidstu?
Yes. In English, that would be this. It's yes.
Huh.
It's like, it's a kind of like.
Why didn't we grow up doing that?
Well, did you speak Pig Latin as a kid?
Not really.
Really? I had a friend with whom I almost exclusively conversed in Pig Latin.
Were they imaginary?
I did not talk to my imaginary friend in Pig Latin. I talked to her in regular English. Okay, thank
great,
you.
Great.
So anyway, they would use this this inversion of syllabic order. They use puns right up your alley. Aphoresis, which I will define for you, which is a really fun thing. It's the loss of a sound at the beginning of a word. So the example that, like, the dictionary gives is adder from nadder, which I guess was probably, like, the original word for that snake.
Interesting.
A natter, and then you say adder.
Huh.
You can see that, like, in the evolution of words all throughout time.
Yeah.
Another one was prolepsis, which is basically, like, representing something figuratively in speech before it actually happens. So a good example of that is, like, he was a dead man when he entered. Huh. So you're kind of like, it's sort of like a, like,
foreshadowing.
Yeah, kind of. Or it's like a prediction.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And Lunfardo was syncretic, which means that it was an amalgamation of different regions, languages, schools. So, like, a pidgin or a creole.
We are learning so much.
Yeah. Super cool. So tango also had lyrical themes.
Mm-hmm.
And those themes were... home, so, like, where you belong, and the neighborhood and your identity. Then also love, so either, like, for your mother or romance. And then, of like you had said, blaming women for problems. So there was the lost woman, the pure woman, masculinity, solitude, and death. So, like, all of those things kind of... came together in a tango, songs about men who abandoned women and later realized they made a fatal mistake also.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. So a really famous tango poem at the time was by Enrique Santos
Discepolo.
And it's considered, he was considered the greatest poet in tango.
Hmm.
He used a lot of Lunfardo. As can be heard in the tango Cambalache, which was actually a social critique of Argentina in 1935. His tangos apparently were badly received when he was first writing them, but then later they enjoyed success. And because tango started as a form for the lower classes, a lot of that was also expressed in the songs. So sadness, feeling marginalized, being alone. That same author that we just mentioned, Enrique Santos Discepolo, has a quote, "A tango is a sad thought that dances," which I think is really beautiful.
It's a good emo away message, too.
It is a good emo away message. So it's, I also really like the way this is put. The tango is the product of a concrete historical process, a biological and cultural mix that took place in the urban suburbs of Buenos Aires from the end of the 19th century until the 1960s. The soul of Buenos Aires is expressed through this song. The tango reflects its inhabitants' way of being and its folklore.
Cool.
So it's very much a, like, by the people, for the people kind of form.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm going to read this.
Well, we need an example song.
We do.
So why don't we use Cambalache?
Cambalache. Okay, so in English, the lyrics to Cambalache are, and I'll just read the first verse, that the world was all, was hearts beat.
So yeah, that's Lunfardo that you're hearing. Shannon is speaking traditional Lunfardo.
So here's the thing. cut that.
Nope.
Here's the thing about me reading this in English is none of the Lunfardo is going to come through at all.
True.
Because we don't, first of all, I don't know Spanish. And second of all, I don't know what is slang and what is not. Anyway. Right. This is tricky construction, which is why it was hard for me to say it. That the world was and always be filth, I already know. In the year 506 and in the year 2002, as in also, there always have been thieves, traitors, and victims of fraud, happy and bitter people, valuables and imitations, but that the 20th century is a display of insolent malice, nobody can deny it anymore. We lived sunk in a fuzz and all in the same mud, all well worn. So yeah, it's basically like, hey, like things are sucking right now. And it was part of a time where the government was very corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And crime was rampant. And yeah, it was very critical of the culture and the government.
Was this in those Perón days?
Possibly. When was Eva Perón alive?
It was like the 30s, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was in the 30s.
Yeah. 1935.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's listen to a little bit of Cambalache by Enrique Santos Discépolo.
Discépolo.
Fue y será una porquería, se lo sé, en el 506 y en el 2000 también, que siempre ha habido chorros, maquiavelos y estafaos, contentos y amargados, valores y doble, pero que el siglo...
Should we get a topic?
Yes.
All right, let's spin the salad spinner, and I think it's your turn to do a yacht rock song.
Okay, Boaty McBoatface... Boaty McBoatface. Boaty McBoatface. Boaty McBoat. What do you mean I didn't write it? You didn't write your song. You just substituted.
I changed the lyrics.
Yeah,
You're just singing an actual song by Rob Parahonian.
No, I'm singing the words Boaty McBoatface to the tune of Margaritaville.
I didn't get the tune.
Damn it. Wait, listen again. Boaty McBoatface. Boaty McBoatface. Boaty McBoatface. Boaty McBoat. That was not Rob's song at all. That was like a really super... His song was like an upbeat song about Boaty McBoatface. Also, go check out Rob Parahonian's song about Boaty McBoatface. Anyway.
Longest salad spinner ever.
Ooh! Yes.
What?
Okay, come on. This is perfect.
Syrah. It's a strong, distilled alcoholic beverage.
It is referred to as an anesthetic by
Susruta, a surgeon in India from 4 BCE.
Oh, boy.
Before the advent of surgical operations.
Oh, boy. Other medical or other ancient medical authorities also mention it. Charaka referred to making a woman with a miscarriage senseless to pain by administering alcoholic drinks like Syrah. The method for preparation appears in the Arantha Veda in Khandas 5 and 8. In Buddhist texts, Syrah is mentioned as one of the intoxicating drinks. Oh, and renunciation of its usage constitutes the fifth of the Buddhist precepts.
I undertake the training rule to abstain from fermented drinks which cause heedlessness.
Oh, boy.
So let's look up more about Syrah.
Let's look up how to make it.
Yeah.
can we make like bathtub sura?
Let's see if we can. Sura is prepared by fermenting a mixture of water, flour of rice.
Rice flour? Yep.
Jaggery resembling the beer of the present day. Okay, this is horribly written.
It's just badly translated, probably.
Yeah. So basically, it's a fermented mixture of water, rice flour.
Jaggery is a traditional non-centrifugal cane sugar.
Oh, okay. So it's water, rice flour, and this cane sugar that's fermented and resembles beer of the present day.
Please read this sentence exactly. The next sentence.
Sura cures abdominal lump, enlargement of abdomen, hemorrhoids, duodenal diseases.
Duodenal diseases.
Sure. And consumption.
No, it doesn't.
Pulmonary tuberculosis. It is hard to digest, causes constipation, mitigates vata, and causes increase of fat, blood, milk, urine, and whatever kapha is. It's useful for treating emaciation, gaseous abdominal swelling, urinary obstruction, insufficient lactation, and piles.
It bestows, which are hemorrhoids.
Yes. It bestows strength, breast milk nourishment, and relieves dropsy and dysuria, which is difficulty and pain in urination. The alcoholic preparation made out of barley and masa has a different name. And the sura prepared from barley causes constipation and is not easily digestible.
Why do you drink it? I mean, I guess you could get rid of your abdominal lump, but then you
drink it because it gets you drunk.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. So I found out what kapha is, and by that, I mean, like, kapha, if you've heard of the four humors.
Yes.
Kapha seems like it's like an Ayurvedic version of humors. So it's like this amorphous substance that holds cells together and forms muscle, fat, bone, and sinew. And there are different kinds of kapha. The way there are different, like, there's what, it's like yellow bile, black bile, blood, and phlegm, or whatever.
Right.
Are the four humors. Also, everyone should go listen to Sawbones, because, like, that's mm-hmm. how I learned all this stuff. It's a really good podcast. So kapha can be heavy, slow, steady, solid, cold, soft, or oily.
Interesting. So apparently, sura causes an increase yeah. in kapha. So if you feel like you're lacking in the kapha department, have some sura.
Increase in kapha and constipation, apparently.
Apparently.
But reducing abdominal lumps.
And hemorrhoids.
Yes. Hemorrhoids.
As this website spells it.
Yes.
And it makes you lactate.
I love that they got duodenal right.
But they spelled hemorrhoids wrong.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So we have to write a tango song about sura, an ancient Indian alcoholic beverage that was used for medicinal purposes.
I looked up a lot of stuff about sura.
Did you find a lot about sura?
No, not a ton. Also, definitely not in any websites that were meant to be written in English.
Right.
Sura was some, like, bad stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it was wholly condemned by, like, righteous people.
Probably for good reason.
Yeah. People were told to avoid it in order to be pious. And I love that this one website... This website was written by someone who knows just enough English to be dangerous. And they say that soma, which is also a fermented fruit drink from the same period, soma was highly commendable. Sura, on the other hand, was highly condemnable.
Ooh.
Oh.
Clever. Clever.
Hilarious.
Now, that's an example of prolepsis, right?
Super no, but okay. So, speaking of prolepsis.
What?
Yeah. So I definitely want to make sure that even though I'm writing in English, I incorporate some of the same kinds of slang, metaphors, puns, mm-hmm. prolepsis, and aphoresis. So prolepsis, there's a second definition of prolepsis, which is in a more rhetorical context, which is someone answering possible objections in their argument before making their argument to sort of undercut the opposition.
Sure.
So it's possible that that's what the article meant when they said they used prolepsis, but I think it's much more likely that they meant it in the other, more like figurative language way. And I thought of an example of prolepsis, which is, I knew I loved you before I met you.
Oh.
Right?
Sure. That works.
Yeah. And then, so I definitely want to try to use prolepsis. I'll figure it out. Uh-huh. And then aphoresis, they give some examples of aphoresis, which, just to remind you, is the loss of a sound at the beginning of the word,
uh-huh.
or also sometimes the loss of an unstressed vowel in a word.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the examples they give in English are tis, pawn. So a pawn becomes pawn. It is tis. And then also America as Merca. Like, really? They, like, gave that as... I'm, like, very disappointed.
Merca.
Cool. Anyway.
I've got my band.
Oh, tell me about your band.
I'm going with the traditional orchestra tipica, which is two violins, a flute, two accordions,
ooh.
A piano, and an upright bass.
Cool.
And, structurally, I want to start the song with a big instrumental flourish. A lot of these tango songs have this very, like, lush, kind of romantic, like, sweeping introduction before the tempo hits. So we're going to have a little bit of a musical introduction, and then we're going to get into a, you know, like a medium tempo, but, like, moving along kind of a tango.
Moving along kind of a tango.
It's a moving along kind of tango day.
Cool. All right.
And I'm definitely going to play up the minor side of things.
The sad thought that dances.
The sad thought that dances side of things, yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Okay.
I got lyrics.
All right.
All right.
Tell your lyrics.
I'll tell you about lyrics. I read about lyrics.
Tell my lyrics.
Okay. Sorry about that.
It's so hot.
I know. It's so hot. Oh, should we turn the fan off? Guys, if you hear a buzzing, it's because it's friggin' hot.
It's my lawnmower we use as a fan.
Very dangerous fan.
Hey, don't get near it. It's your problem.
It's my fault.
I was going to say fault.
A problem.
Fault and problem became problem.
Problem.
Yep.
I like problem. Okay. Here are my lyrics.
Yep.
Your cruelty, commendable. But your heart, condemnable.
Nice.
I couldn't let that go. It was
just
too good.
Yeah, you gotta
use that. My soul wallows in a slump. Left alone with my abdominal lump. Couldn't let that go either. Now an ache I can't sate has started to take the place of my hate. But make no mistake.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like some Dr. Seuss shit up in here.
Ooh.
And then, chorus. I'm drunk without taking a sip. I scream without parting my lips. I forgot to remember that I've got to stop. You're my Sura, baby. Let me drink you all up.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah?
It's good.
Thanks.
I like the addition of abdominal hump.
Hump?
Lump.
Abdominal hump.
It's like reverse Quasimodo.
Oh. The hunch lump of Notre Dame.
The hunch belly of Notre Dame.
The hunch...
hunch tummy?
Hunch punch?
Hunch punch.
Hunch punch of Notre Dame?
Wow.
Oh, creepy. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah, you like abdominal lump?
Yeah, where did you use the elements we were talking about with the... what's it called? Lufador?
Lunfardo?
Yes, Lunfardo.
Lufador.
I think Lufador is Spanish for like laundromat or
something. Wait, hold on. I'm looking it up. How do you spell it? Like this?
Luchador is a wrestler. That's what it is. This is a Mexican wrestler.
Yeah, no, you just made up a word.
Lufador.
Lufador. I imagine a luchador, but he just has a bunch of loofahs.
Yes. Very soft luchador.
He exfoliates you to death. Anyway, okay,
oh my God.
I use prolepsis, I think, in Drunk Without Taking a Sip.
Yep.
Scream Without Parting My Lips. And maybe I forgot to remember.
Maybe.
Because it sort of precludes the thing that you did. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Sure.
I want the aphoresis to be part of the singing.
Yeah.
So let's just, like, figure out...
Which word you want.
I think maybe... Oh,
abdominal?
I know what it's going to be. It's going to be abdominal. Left alone with my abdominal lump.
So we leave off the ab?
Yeah, leave off the ab.
Okay.
Which is great. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Abdominal lump.
Left alone with my abdominal lump. Like Ponchimoto.
Ponchimoto. We are so punchy tonight.
Punchy and paunchy.
We are.
Ugh. All right.
Well, okay.
Whew. I've got my band cooking.
And, you better get it out of the oven. I'm sure they don't appreciate that. Are you going to play me some of it?
Yes, I'll play some of it. So here's okay. my... Tango accordion. Here is what the piano will be doing. Here's what I have the flutes doing. And the violins. And then the bass will just be accentuating the bass line that the piano is already sort of providing.
Cool.
And we're going to do a lush intro with a verse and then a chorus. And I think we'll probably repeat the chorus a second time and make Ooh. It a little bit fancy with what the instruments are doing in the chorus the second time.
Fancy?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
So are we ready to record this one?
I think we're ready to record. Is Domino Lump
we need a title.
Our title?
Does that fit with the tango tradition of Domino what the title lump? Should be?
I don't know that I read anything about, like, the traditional titles of tango songs.
I think we have to go with
Domino lump. With the apostrophe at
apostrophe
the beginning.
Domino lump.
And can
a tango
I,
song.
Can I please just say one thing?
Sure.
If you are shortening a word, like tis, please, please use a single quote at the beginning.
That, an apostrophe. Right?
Yes. Yeah. That curls to the left. Please do it. Because otherwise, it's a single quote. And it doesn't mean that you're cutting off that part of the word. It's just a huge pet peeve of
this
mine.
This has been Shannon's Pet Peeve Corner.
Oh, man. I have so many.
We'll come back to that another episode.
Great.
Here is... Domino Lump, a tango song by Shannon and Scott.
Your cruelty, commendable, but your heart... condemnable. My soul wallows in a slump, left alone with my domino lump. Now an ache I can't sate has started to take the place of my hate. But make no mistake, I'm drunk without taking a sip. I scream without parting my lips. I forgot to remember that I've got to stop. You're my syrup, baby, let me drink you all up. I'm drunk without taking a sip.
Without taking
I
a
scream
sip.
Without parting my
scream
lips.
Without parting
I forgot
my
to remember
lips.
That I've got to stop.
You're my syrup, baby, let me drink you all up.
Esmeralda. I need some syrup for my paunch.
Oh, Ponchimoto. Don't die. Wait, does he die? No.
Out there, there's a lump going out there.
Oh, my God.
Does he die?
No.
I haven't seen that in forever.
He doesn't die. He, like... gives her away.
Well, to if the... he had an abdominal lump, he would die.
Yeah, that's true. he's got a tumor.
Esmeralda, it's not a tumor. It's my abdominal lump. Anyway,
I'm glad you fixed the ending.
Well, they didn't hear the other ending.
Yeah, but like, let me put you on blast for like 1 second, because sure. I said a lot of dumb things tonight. For the first pass of the song, sounded like we were having a tropical island party, man.
I kind of phoned in the end of the melody in the chorus, and instead of doing the tango like da 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 that we ended up with, it was just like, let me drink you all up. Yeah. And it was a little bit island time.
It was so a little bit great.
Like I wanted to be on a boat. It was yacht rock.
It was yacht rock. It was yacht rock. You're
full
right.
Circle, 360.
We just had like a Jimmy Buffett infection or something.
Island fever.
Island fever. And the only cure is more boat.
Until next week. No, I'm
no, definitely go out on that winner.
Thanks for listening. Please follow us on SoundCloud. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And tweet at us at SongSaladCast.
If you rate us, like, sweet. But if you review us and actually, like, put your name on it, then we'll shout you out on the podcast.
If anyone wants to do fan art for Ponchimoto, I would love to see that. I know it's not typical to, like, request the fan art.
Yeah.
But I want Ponchimoto.
Ponchimoto, the saddest.
The saddest
Disney character.
Lumpiest Disney character.
Oh, man. Who is that? Alexandre Dumas? Was that? No.
I don't know.
Hunchback of Notre Dame? Was that Dumas?
The writer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like the book?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't read classic literature.
Yeah, I know.
Till next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're
Shannon and Scott.
Put the lime in the coke. Three nut marks in all. Put the
Want me to sing the boat face song?
Yeah, I keep singing the boat face song.
Okay. Bodie McBoatface. Bodie McBoatface.
Wasting away again in Bodie McFace. Boat.